Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study program presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. We want to thank you for joining us today as we examine the truth of God's Word and the answers it holds to life's most important questions. If you have questions about this lesson or would like to study further, please contact us at montevistacoc.com. Now let's open our Bibles and study God's Word together.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Go and Teach Bible program that's put on by the Monte Vista Church of Christ. If you have a Bible available, we're going to be studying from Mark chapter 13, the 13th chapter of Mark. I'm going to try to tackle this chapter in 25 minutes or so, which is going to be very difficult because it's one of the more controversial chapters in the New Testament. It's called the Olivet Discourse. Or that's what many have named it anyway. It's called the Olivet Discourse because Jesus gave this speech sitting at the Mount of Olives. It's controversial because many people don't agree as to what Jesus is referring to in much of this chapter. What people are generally divided over is whether Jesus is referring to the judgment on Jerusalem in 70 AD, or is Jesus referring to the destruction of heaven and earth at the final judgment of mankind, after which we will all spend eternity in heaven or hell. There are still others who think that this is referring to a judgment prior to Jesus coming back and reigning for 1,000 years, which I believe to be heresy. It's false, and it disrespects the current reign of Jesus Christ, which we talked a little bit about in Mark chapter 12 a few weeks ago. Here's a brief outline of where we're headed in this study. I'll give you four main beliefs that exist about this Olivet Discourse, the four things the majority of people believe, and I'll give you some reasons for what I believe the teachings of Jesus are in Mark chapter 13. Lastly, we'll draw some broad applications as to the rule of God and being ready for any judgment that he brings, whether on earth or the final judgment of all mankind. Lastly, by way of introduction, the chapter is 37 verses long. And we don't have the time to study it verse by verse and word by word, so unless you are very familiar with the Olivet Discourse already, I encourage you to restudy Mark 13 in your own studies, read Matthew 24, and read Luke 21 side by side by side, and it will help you in understanding what Jesus is saying here in these chapters. The four main views that people have concerning Mark chapter 13 are this. Number one, some people believe that the entire chapter is referring to the judgment of all mankind. Number two, some people believe the entire chapter is referring only to the destruction of Jerusalem. And the last two beliefs believe that it's a combination of both, but they disagree as to where Jesus kind of switches over and talks about the other judgment. The first group of people believe that the dividing line is verse 24, that everything in verses 1 through 23 is the destruction of Jerusalem, and everything after verse 24 is the end time judgment. The last group of people also believe that it's a combination, that Jesus refers to the destruction of Jerusalem and the end time judgment, but they think that the dividing line is verse 32. That in the first 31 verses, he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, and then verse 32 and on, it's the end time judgment. Are you totally confused yet? Well, don't be. The chapter is actually more simple than you may realize. Let's talk about the first main belief, though. Why do some people believe that the entire chapter is referring to the last judgment of all mankind? Well, the main reason people believe that is because of a mistranslation of what is recorded in Matthew chapter 24. In Mark's account, the question from the apostles is rather clear, but in Matthew's account, depending on your translation, it's not so clear. Jesus mentions the temple will not have one stone standing on another. I want you to read with me verses 1 through 4 of Mark 13. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple. Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" Okay, so the apostles, those four apostles that are mentioned, asked in verse 4, what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished? It seems like an easy question. If taken in context, what they're asking Jesus is, when will the temple be destroyed? When will there be not one stone standing on another? Well, in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3, some older translations have the apostles' question reading a little different. In Matthew 24, they ask, what will be the sign of the end of the world? That sounds different, doesn't it? You see how those could be conceived as different events? In Mark 13, it would be rather clear that they are asking when the temple would be destroyed. And in Matthew 24, it sounds like they're asking about the destruction of the world. So which is it? Well, the answer is, it's the same question. The Greek word that is translated world by some of the older translations in Matthew 24 does not refer to the cosmos, the physical world. The Greek word is aeon, which more accurately refers to an age or an era. An age or an era. Most translators pose the question from the apostles in Matthew 24 like this: what will be the sign of the close of the age? And that makes perfect sense with what Mark records in Mark 13. Because when the temple would be utterly destroyed, the apostles knew that that was going to be the close of an era, the close of an age. So when you combine the Greek meaning of that word in Matthew, and you combine the question that's recorded by Mark, you combine the actual context of the actual chapter, it becomes very clear that the apostles are asking when the temple would be destroyed, and thus the age comes to a close. If we understand that question of the apostles, then we're much more closer to understanding the answer of Jesus, because obviously Jesus is going to answer their question. Now let's look at some of the context in Jesus' response. Every piece of evidence in the beginning of the discourse, and I specify, in the beginning of the discourse, indicate that Jesus answers the question regarding when the temple would be destroyed, when not one stone would be on top of another. I'm just going to list a series of verses within the response of Jesus that cannot be interpreted as anything else. Jesus says in verse 14, when this judgment begins, that his followers should flee to the mountains. Okay, note that. When this judgment would occur, his followers needed to flee to the mountains. Well, if that has reference to the judgment of all mankind, what would fleeing to the mountains do to save you? We're told in other New Testament passages that no human being will escape the final judgment before God and his Son. So what good would it do to run for the hills? Wouldn't make sense that Jesus is referring, it would make sense rather that Jesus is referring to the Romans surrounding the city and the need to get out of the city in the mountains. In verse 17, Jesus says, he takes pity on the women who are pregnant and the nursing during those days. Jesus says to pray that it might not happen in winter. Again, if that's the judgment of all mankind and none will escape, what would it matter if a woman was pregnant or nursing? What would it matter if it happened in winter? We're told by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that at the judgment of all mankind, when Jesus comes again and the dead are raised up, it will happen in the twinkling of an eye. That it will happen that fast. So if Jesus is referring to the final judgment, why the big deal over it happening in the winter? In verse 20, Jesus talks about God the Father cutting short the days of this judgment, because he says if God did not cut short the days of this judgment, no human being would be saved. Again, if Jesus is referring to the final judgment of all mankind, and that day will happen all at once, it doesn't make sense for Jesus to mention cutting short the days. unless Jesus is talking about the judgment and the destruction of Jerusalem, cutting short those days. And lastly, and this is the most powerful piece of evidence that I can give you from the context that Jesus is referring to the destruction of Jerusalem, he says in verse 30, "This generation will not pass away until all these things take place." This generation, please note that, this generation, the one that Jesus was speaking to, the generation standing there listening to him speak, that generation would not die off until that judgment took place. Well, obviously, we know the end time judgment hasn't come yet, and that generation did die off. So that's some pretty powerful evidence. Now, that's not all of the evidence, but I gave you four of the most powerful pieces of evidence in my mind from the words of Jesus that he could not be referring to the final judgment at the beginning of the chapter. And if we understand the apostles' question correctly, that they were asking about the destruction of Jerusalem and the close of that age or that era, it makes perfect sense. Now, the second main view I mentioned is that the entire chapter is referring to the destruction of Jerusalem, that there's nothing in the chapter that refers to the end time judgment. And because of the evidence that I just provided you, I can see why some people would believe that. But the language of Jesus at the end of the chapter in Mark 13, Matthew 24, and Luke 21 does not match up with the language that Jesus uses in the earlier part of the chapter to describe the destruction of Jerusalem. For example, earlier in the chapter, Jesus constantly tells his disciples they can know when judgment on Jerusalem has arrived. He spends the earlier part of the chapter emphasizing that when they see all of these signs, when they see these signs leading up to this event, that they should take action, that they should be ready for it. In fact, they were to be so aware of this impending doom on Jerusalem that Jesus compares their knowledge of that event to a fig tree in leaf. Jesus says in chapter 13, beginning in verse 28, to learn the lesson of the fig tree, that when a fig tree is in leaf, you know that the summer is near, you know that summer is right around the corner, that a fig tree puts forth its leaves first, right? The application is, just as you know summer is near, you will know when the close of the age is, and you know when the destruction of Jerusalem is coming, just like you know when summer is near. So everything in the beginning part of the Olivet Discourse is about Jesus emphasizing, you're going to know when you see all of these signs. Now, contrast that language with the language used at the end of the chapter. At the end of the chapter, Jesus talks about their lack of knowing when the Master will return. Now, that's a significant difference. He says in the first part, you will know, and in the last part, you won't know. He says in Mark 13, verse 35, you do not know when the Master of the house will come. Well, wait just a minute. Jesus just finished comparing their knowledge to the impending doom to how they know when summer is coming. And now he's saying you don't have a clue when it's coming? You see how the language is different? And I believe it's different because there is some point in this Olivet Discourse. There is some point when Jesus switches, stops talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, and starts talking about the final judgment of all mankind. And there's still more evidence if you look at Matthew's account in chapter 24. In Matthew 24, at the beginning of the Olivet Discourse, Jesus emphasizes to them that they should know when to take action, how soon the destruction of Jerusalem would be. And Matthew also records the fig tree lesson, which was, you'll know the destruction of Jerusalem, just like you'll know when summer is near. But now contrast that with the language that Jesus uses at the end of Matthew 24 when Jesus talks about judgment being like a thief in the night. You will be so blindsided by that judgment, it will be like a thief in the night. Well, how could Jesus go from saying you're going to recognize all these signs and then all of a sudden there's no way to know when a thief is coming? That seems like two sets of advice. And that's because I believe that they are. They are two sets of advice from Jesus. That what Jesus is saying to them is, you will know when the destruction of Jerusalem is right around the corner. However, at the end of all mankind, at the judgment of all mankind, that judgment will come like a thief. It will have no warning. That judgment will have no signs, unlike the destruction of Jerusalem would. Does everyone understand what I'm saying? That the destruction of Jerusalem would be preceded by signs, that they would be able to tell it, just like you would be able to tell when summer is near from a fig tree. In contrast, the final judgment of all mankind would not be preceded by signs that you would be able to pinpoint accurately. The question that remains is this. At what point in the context does Jesus go from talking about the destruction of Jerusalem to the final judgment? And I'll get to that in just a moment. But one last piece of evidence before we begin there. This time it's from Luke's account in Luke chapter 21, which is his account of the Olivet Discourse. In Luke, and in only Luke's account, Jesus says something that I think is overwhelming evidence that he was talking about a different judgment later in the discourse. In Luke chapter 21, verse 20, Jesus mentions, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, you know that its desolation has come near." That's Luke 21, verse 20. As clear as it is day, Jesus is talking about when Jerusalem would be brought down, when they are surrounded by armies. He says, you know, it's coming down. But at the end of the Olivet Discourse, in Luke 21, verse 35, he says, it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Now, did you see that distinction? Near the beginning of Luke 21, he's talking about the desolation of Jerusalem. And then at the end, he says, it's coming upon the whole earth. Now, clearly, Jesus has to be talking about a different judgment, because the destruction of Jerusalem would not affect everyone on earth. It was going to be a localized judgment on Jerusalem and Judea. However, it makes perfect sense if you believe that Jesus was talking about the Jerusalem judgment first, and then the judgment of all mankind at the end of the discourse. So the question that we posed a moment ago and still remains is this. At what point in the sermon does Jesus stop talking about the destruction of Jerusalem? And at what point does he start talking about the final judgment of all mankind? As I mentioned, some believe that the switch is in verse 24. And the reason for some believing this is the apocalyptic language that is used from verses 24 through 27. Verse 24 through 27 says, "But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will be falling from heaven. The powers in the heavens will be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven." So Jesus talks about the sun being darkened, the moon not giving its light, stars falling from heaven, powers in the heavens being shaken. Jesus mentions gathering the elect from the four winds. However, when you compare this apocalyptic language to the language that is used in the Old Testament when referring to judgment on physical nations, I think Jesus is still referring to the judgment on Jerusalem. The language in the Old Testament that I'm referring to is this. Let me give you a few examples. Isaiah chapter 13, Jesus speaks of the fall of Babylon. In 13 verse 10, Isaiah 13 verse 10, it mentions the stars not giving its light, the sun being darkened, the moon not shedding its light. That's nearly identical language in Mark 13. And yet, Isaiah 13 was talking about God's judgment on a physical nation. Here's another example from the Old Testament. In Ezekiel 32, we have an oracle given by God concerning a judgment on a physical nation, that physical nation being Egypt. Well, in prophesying about this judgment on their nation, God mentions, and I quote, "covering the heavens making the stars dark, covering the moon, the sun and the moon, not giving its light. Well, that's nearly identical language of Mark chapter 13, and that was speaking about a judgment on a physical nation. And then lastly, Isaiah 11 verse 12, God spoke about the gathering of the banished people of Israel, the dispersed people of Judah, gathering, God says, from the four corners of the earth. The four winds is mentioned seven times in the Old Testament, and never once is it referring to the final judgment of all mankind. It was always referring to God gathering up a physical people. So I point all of those Old Testament passages out to you to show you that that is not unheard of for that language to be used about physical nations and physical people, much like what was happening was going to happen to Jerusalem. However, the greatest evidence to me that this apocalyptic language of Jesus refers to the destruction of Jerusalem is what Jesus says just three verses later, and we've already mentioned it, what he says three verses later in verse 30 when he says, "Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place." The generation that Jesus was speaking to was not going to die off until those things that he had mentioned were taking place, had taken place. So whatever Jesus is referring to in verses 24 through 27, when he mentions the stars falling, the sun not giving its light, the moon being darkened, the four winds, the four corners, whatever you think he's referring to, whatever I think he's referring to, we have to agree on something. Jesus said that would take place prior to the death of that generation. So the question is still out there. When did Jesus stop talking about the destruction of Jerusalem and start talking about the final judgment of all human beings? Well, I believe that distinction is in verse 31. When Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." And then he says, "Concerning that day, or that hour, no one knows." Well, concerning what day? Concerning what hour? The day and the hour when heaven and earth would pass away. I think that's where the switch is made. I believe that's the point that Jesus stops talking about the destruction of Jerusalem and he starts talking about the final day of judgment when heaven and earth will actually go away, the final day of all time. And to back up this belief, I challenge you to read Matthew's account, Mark's, and Luke's, all three together. When Jesus mentions the end of heaven and earth, that's when the language becomes different. That's the point where the context, in the context, when Jesus starts to say that there is no way of knowing when that time will be. That's the point in the context when Jesus doesn't focus on Jerusalem, but how everyone on the whole face of the earth will be affected. In all three accounts, when Jesus mentions heaven and earth passing away, all of a sudden, no longer is he talking about recognizing signs. No longer is he talking about recognizing the time. And no longer is he mentioning localized places like Jerusalem and Judea. No, his language from that point on is how we can't know. There will be no sign, and that judgment will not be localized. It will be the entire earth. Well, I've jam-packed a lot of information within our segment together. I challenge you to listen to this sermon again after reading Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. And if you have further questions, reach out to us. There is a lot of sensationalism out there regarding end-time issues. Scare tactics that people use. People are using sensationalism, the sensationalism of it all to make a lot of money. And much of what's being taught is completely false. And we want you to see through all that. We want you to see the scriptures in the clearest way possible. A few main applications I want us to get before I sign off on this program is this. Number one, Jesus rules all the nations, even right now. He rules the nations with a rod of iron. God has always ruled the nations, and whenever he wants to put a nation in check, he does it. Secondly, regardless of what judgment we're talking about, people have always been caught off guard. Whether it's the destruction of the flood in Noah's time, whether it was the destruction of Jerusalem, whether it's the final judgment, people have always been caught off guard, and let's be ready for his coming. Even though we have zero chance of knowing when that is, and it might not be preceded by signs, that doesn't mean that we can't be ready. Live by his word and trust his grace, and we'll be ready. And thirdly, lastly, God has always been able to save his people from disaster. Whether it's Noah being saved in the ark, or whether it was God telling his people to flee to the mountains for relief, or whether we'll be saved everlasting, God knows how to deliver his people, and he will deliver us if we are found in his Son, Jesus the Christ. Have a blessed day.
Thank you for joining us today. To hear this program again, please visit our website at montevistacoc.com. If you're in the Phoenix area, come visit us at the Monta Vista Church of Christ. We're located at 2202 North 40th Street. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and again on Wednesday night at 7. For more information about the Monta Vista Church of Christ or to request a personal Bible study, please go to montevistacoc.com. Hallelujah.